You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on.
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for joining us here as we broadcast live, not quite statewide, but from various parts of the state. I myself am in Northeast Wisconsin and looking across the state at my pal, Greg Bach, who is in Radio Park. See how I got that right, Greg? I get it right when I say where you are located, but yes. You seem to have trouble with my little moniker that I've given.
You're in Marinette, Wisconsin.
Well, that part's right.
You're in Holiday Jingle Bell Land, Midwest, USA.
Sure, that works.
The thing too is that it's across the state in a sense, but you actually are looking down upon me because you're in Northeast Wisconsin.
That's true.
And I'm in Southeast Wisconsin. And I don't know how you would describe Madison. It's like Southeast Central. It's like Central. Kind of like Central-ish. Mm-hmm. It's got essences of all of them, verisimilitude, je ne sais quoi, if you will. In other words, it's Dom Lee in Madison on the ones and twos here tonight.
That's right.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you doing today, Pete?
I'm well. And it's funny what you just said. I'm looking down at you because I'm in Northeast Wisconsin looking down the state at Greg. It reminds me of when I watched the Blues Brothers decades ago. And the chase that starts at Pier 1 Imports in Milwaukee, they start in Chicago, they end up at Pier 1 Imports on the north side of Milwaukee. They go off 794, I believe, when that was being constructed.
My goodness.
And the car fell south.
Yeah.
In downtown Chicago. That's kind of the same thing we're dealing with here.
It's kind of like people forget a lot of times that the Blues Brothers is kind of a Wisconsin movie. Like there's elements and touches of Wisconsin within it. We don't talk about that enough. It's never celebrated as not a Wisconsin movie, but you know, we're part of it, if you will. So, but
oh, absolutely.
You know, but good. Well, I'm glad you're having a good day. It looks folks, this is a reason to watch the live stream, by the way. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we call Twitter. This is one of those moments I'm looking at Pete's room right now, his studio, whatever, like however you want to call it. It's just a nice looking area. It looks like a good place to sit and have a chat, you know, enjoy a discussion about, you know, the news, about entertainment, maybe have a show like ours, like Nightlight. I mean, it's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Well, and it's I want to give you a shout out, my friend, because your team, you're proudly representing your Milwaukee Brewers tonight with a really cool looking jersey. Yeah. And they had a big win on opening day. Dom, I'm sorry it didn't work out as well for you guys, your Southside team from Chicago, but the Brewers came out with bats a-swinging today.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's okay.
Well, I want to talk about it. So the thing that I really loved today, I said this before we went on the air, was that I was very upset with Dominic in the very beginning of this game because yesterday, I believe it was, you sort of like shrugged your shoulders and you said, it's the White Sox. You have nothing to worry about. And I said, excuse me.
It's true.
We got swept by the Athletics last season, so there is nothing that's for sure. But we did come out with bats ablazing, and the Brewers did win 14-2 today, which is a great start to the season. That doesn't mean anything other than the fact that we've won one game, and the Colorado Rockies are officially eliminated from all playoff contentions for this season. So, sorry, Colorado Rocky fans, you knew this was coming. It's not my problem. It's your problem to fix your state and your team. So, other than the baseball, which we'll talk more about with our second hour guest, Pete, talk about what's going to be on the show tonight. Do we have an amazing show?
I was hoping you'd ask. We've got, I have to pull up this first guest we have in the first hour, Cindy Scapini. She is a professor of business law at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. She's one of those guests we have periodically with all these titles, Greg. Yeah. But I love that they can explain things to us. Like she's going to explain with prediction markets when she comes by at 5:35. You can bet on basically anything, folks. Wars, Rotten Tomato scores, all kinds of stuff. Cindy is going to break that down for us and tell us why that can be dangerous and, you know, stopgaps they're making. And then, as Greg mentioned, in hour number two, we've got Civic Media Sports Authority. Mike Clemens will be here to break down the Brewers' win tonight. I might ask him about the Badgers and what happened last weekend. But we've got great guests, and we've got a lot of other stuff going on. I think we should get to our question of the night sooner rather than later, just so we can get to our contest and our newsworthy things. What do you guys say?
I think that's a great idea.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is the best music duo of all time? Compliments of our music aficionado, Mr. Greg Bach. Greg mentioned that. Well, you said music duo or something. And I thought, oh, that'd make a great question. So that is tonight's question. Who is the best music duo of all time? You can let us know, and we hope you do, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us or you can drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. And if you are listening on the app, you're going to need that anyway for what Greg's about to tell you. But you can drop us a comment on the app. Let us know who your favorite music duo of all time is. That's a fun one.
Yes, folks, you must have your Civic Media app for this next portion of the conversation because I'm about to give you the keyword for our Break Into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. So here's how it's going to work. Is you're going to open up that app. Go to your favorite radio station if you haven't already favored it, WAUK, and you're going to text in the keyword for your chance to win $200 plus be put into a grand prize drawing for a brand new mattress set from Verlo. So you must have the app in order to participate. You must have the app to text in. You can't text it in via your regular phone. Can't do it on the live stream. And I've had people try to email or call it in. So none of those ways. You must have the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it right now because it's absolutely free. And beyond just the text to win contest, oh my goodness gracious, you can get news, you can get all sorts of great things. You can listen to programs, whether it's music or talk. But get that app right now if you haven't. You have the entire hour to participate. But for right now, let's get you that keyword for our Break Into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. And that keyword is timpanis, please. Timpanis, timpanis, timpanis. The word is bike, B-I-K-E. The word is bike, as in I shall ride my bike because it's so nice outside. That is the keyword you must text in via the Civic Media app for your chance to win $200. You'll get another opportunity in the 7 o'clock hour and then 7 more opportunities tomorrow. And tomorrow is actually the last day. So make sure you get that app. Text in the word bike, B-I-K-E, and good luck to you. We'll talk more about it throughout the hour. But yep, the word is bike. Here we go.
You can't win if you don't play. That's a great keyword. You first said the word.
You can't win if you work here too.
True, that too. That's true too. When you said timpani, I thought you were going that route with the keyword. I was like, whoa, that's a complicated keyword. But bike is a good one. B-I-K-E. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Yep.
I'm not a good speller.
And it's funny because we had to start spelling it because we were getting a lot of misspellings and we wouldn't call out, like make fun of them. We would just simply say like, so-and-so, you spelled it wrong. Go back and try again, please. We want you to enter. We want you to win. But yeah, it's a lot of creative spelling on what seems to be simple words, but I see them coming in right now. Michael in Tosa, Nan in Brookfield, Tom in Hartford, Brian in Southern Wisconsin. They're all becoming a part of it, and I'm loving it, loving it.
It's fun, and they get that extra chance to win, too, which is nice.
Correct. You know, yeah, that's right, folks. If you get a text message back from us saying, hey, here's an opportunity for an extra entry, go ahead and click through that link. That's totally safe. That is us, Civic Media. You have, in the entire two-week contest, you have one opportunity to get one extra entry. So go ahead and take that opportunity, whether it's subscribing to a newsletter, following us on social media, something like that. But you go ahead and do that, and that's just one more opportunity to win that $200 and a mattress set from Verlo. So, again, good luck. The word is bike, B-I-K-E. Jim from Brookfield, you are a smart aleck, and I like your style, sir. It's like send in the word bicycle.
Oh, that's not going to do it. I think Jim knows that. He's a smart aleck, as you said.
He's a smart aleck.
That's a very parental thing to say, Greg, is smart aleck. You also referred to Dom as Dominic, like he was in trouble before. I like that. True, Dominic was being a smart aleck regarding his baseball team.
Full government name.
Knock it off, Dom. Oh, my goodness. All
right. We've got some news stories. There you go, Greg. Two great guests, a fun question, and now we get to some news stories we got to bang out here before we get to our next portion of the show.
The first big story.
Pete, what is going on right now with Iran and the president? Seriously,
that's a great question.
Yeah. I don't even know I don't even know if he can answer that question. But go on.
But I saw the headline and it's like he gives them an ultimatum. It's like that's all he's been doing. ABC News reported that at a cabinet meeting, he said Trump said that Iran is begging for a deal, when everybody else is saying they just shot down what the president offered.
Yep.
And he's begging NATO to get involved, the group he wants America to leave. It's insanity. He's really backed himself into a corner here with Iran. And as long as they can keep this sustained, whatever it is they're dealing with there, I have no idea. I'm glad I don't know. But bombs and all this kind of stuff, if they can withstand that, I don't see what the exit strategy is. Do you?
Oh, I don't see an exit strategy. Well, I mean, I see an exit strategy in as much as they just have to leave because they have no choice. I mean, we're either going to just have to go in fully and invade the place and do what they possibly did in Iraq or Afghanistan. But I mean, the thing is like they don't want to meet with Jared Kushner. They want to meet with J.D. Vance. The president says you have a deadline. Here are the things. He says, I'm going to extend the deadline. He says we're in a war. He says we're not in a war. He says we've won. He says we're close to winning. That ultimately is the biggest problem, Pete, for me, is the fact that, like, at least, okay, say what you will about the Iraq war. It wasn't good. I didn't support it. Didn't like it. But at least it felt like there was a mission that was at least sold to the American public. 9/11, Afghanistan, weapons of mass destruction, Saddam Hussein, raid Iraq. At least on paper, you're like, I understand this. Even if I don't agree with it, I get what they're trying to do. This is like they're spinning just a wheel in the Oval Office every day saying, what do we say now? It goes, 15-point plan. All right, we'll say there's a 15-point plan and Iran wants it, and that's what they're, you know, we'll just shove it down their throats. Meanwhile, Iran is saying, thank you.
It's really strange, and you referenced, you know, you say what you want about the Iraq war. I wasn't in favor of that either, but at least that went through Congress. This is like, you know, you're right. This is just a willy-nilly kind of, and you can't, you know, for a guy who considers himself a negotiating genius and wrote The Art of the Deal, I think that's what his book was called, and he's saying, okay, here's our proposal, and they're saying no, and he's saying, all right, I'll extend it. Well, no, they don't, what are you extending? They don't want it.
This is just like the tariffs. He says, you're going to get 45% tariffs, and they say, oh, yeah, and he's like, all right, 20%, or nothing, or more, or it really just depends on how he's feeling. It really is true. Everything he talks about, I believe, is who was in his ear last. So there is an idea out there that I could be in the Oval Office right now and be like, hey, you should pull out of Iran right now. It's not very popular. And let's get out of there. And he might say, hey, we might pull out of there and just be done with it because people aren't like, you know what I mean? Like, it really depends on who is surrounding him and who is getting in his ear and what they are showing him. I mean, they show him a sizzle reel. And for those who don't know, a sizzle reel is basically a best of package clip of videos or news. They're showing him that to say, this is what's going on. And it all looks great. So he thinks it's all sunny over there for them. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
All right. We will be back with more ridiculous stuff and a lot of fun stuff, too. Folks, it's a great night here at Nightlight. It is Thursday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We are coming right back to talk about two more news stories and then talk some online betting and prediction markets, all kinds of fun stuff. Mike Clemens in hour two. It's going to be great. Glad you're here. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I was just looking up Pool Man, and I did not. Is it called The Pool Man or Pool Man?
The Pool Man. I think, Chris Pine, The Pool Man.
Okay. This is the kind of information, folks, you get on the super secret Happy Fun Show if you watch on the stream. We were just talking about a movie, and now it's translated into the actual show.
Yep.
But we are in the middle of our three big news stories of the day. So without further ado, why don't we get to number two, Dom? What do you make of this, Greg?
Oh, my God, Florida.
What is with that state? It's like one of our only warm states where it's really warm, tropical even, and I just don't even want to set foot there sometimes.
No, I agree. There's only a few reasons why I would ever go to Florida. I would go back for Disney. I love Epcot. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Cocoa Beach is beautiful. But so the Attorney General of Florida has made a decree that the NFL must get rid of what's called the Rooney Rule. And the Rooney Rule is, which was instituted in 2003, requires each team to, quote, do an interview of at least one or more diverse candidates before making a new hire, unquote. The policy seems like the policy is only applied to head coaching jobs, though I guess it says here NFL teams have also used it for other jobs as well. Since 2009, both general manager and primary football executive jobs require NFL teams to interview two minority candidates per the NFL's website. And this just burns the grits of Mr. Jay Utmeyer. Wait, was his first name? I don't know his first name. Idiot Utmeyer. James. It is James. All right, I'm good. James Utmeyer, the Florida Attorney General, says they must do away with this because, you know, folks, white people, we've had so bad for so long.
They're victims, Greg. This is so weird. Here's why I find this really egregious, because the rule does not say you have to hire a minority coaching candidate. It just means you have to interview them.
Mm-hmm.
People are pushing back against that, and it also helps women too. Like, this is insanity, and this rule actually got Mike Tomlin, I believe, his head coaching job, and he won a Super Bowl. He went in as the minority, token interview, whatever you want to call it. He got the job, and he's never had a losing season. So, and the rule, it's necessary, I think. Like, there are plenty of unqualified whitehead coaches that get hired. And why can't you open the door and at least interview more people? That makes no sense. The highest number of black coaches, and I got this information from our pal Stephen A. Smith, who I have trouble listening to, but I'm totally with him on this. He said the highest number of black coaches has been 6 out of 32 in a league where there are almost 70% of its players are black. So come on.
And in the entirety of the NFL, the entire history, like we're talking about all the decades it's been around. This is just Florida anti-DEI because they just they don't want to just say we're racist outright. And I'm sure the people in the live stream in the comments were like, that's not racist. No, it's just, and you're couching it in the idea of like, this is to be merit-based. Well, they're not just going to be like, hey, random person who fits into the minority status, do you want to come in and interview for a head coaching job? No, they're going to have merit, or they wouldn't be there in the first place.
Correct.
So it again, and again, this is a threat. He says, you know, if they do not do away with this at their yearly meeting, which takes place, I actually think it takes place right now, or no, it takes place next week. It takes place next week for a few days. They're going to talk about possible rule changes. They're going to vote on the Super Bowl, but if they don't come out and say that the Rooney Rule is going away, you know, that horrible racist Rooney Rule, that there could possibly be, filing charges. Let's say it says the Rooney Rule violates Florida law and it must stop because Florida, as you know, is anti-DEI. It's no DEI there. There's no.
They are. And the reason this came up was because minority candidates were being shut out.
Yeah.
And I would love to know the number of, like, Tony Dungy's won a Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin, Lovie Smith's been to a Super Bowl. This rule exists for a very good reason. Yeah. And I want to say, I think the NFL has pushed back against the right to a degree, Colin Kaepernick aside. Since then, they seem to stand up to the right more than a lot of corporations do. So good for them on that, you know. And we'll see what happens. But I think it's just an interview. It's such a stupid thing to be upset about. They're not saying you have to hire a minority coach. They're just saying, let someone in the door, give them a shot.
It's just snowflake little races who just want their way and want their, white people are put upon against. No, we're not. We're fine. We're doing great. We're doing great. We're doing absolutely great.
Hey, I think, guys, when it comes to presidents, we're like 50-1 or something like that. So.
Yeah. NFL still hasn't called me, so I guess I got to go complain about something. So while I'm doing that, let's get to the third big story real quick. Go on.
Oh, go ahead, Greg. No, please. I insist.
Vince Vaughn, the actor, remember him from movies like Wedding Crashers and that other movie that your dad loves? He says that he's calling out late night shows. He says they feel the same. They slams Colbert and Kimmel for scolding. It's stopped being funny. He doesn't like the fact that it's part of an agenda-based style that basically, you know, he said, quote, on a Theo Vaughn's terrible podcast, it stopped being funny and it started feeling like I was in an effing class I didn't want to take. Well, then turn off the show. Don't listen. Walk away. You're Vince Vaughn. You have way more things to do with your life.
You've got Newsmax. You've got Fox. You've got like, I understand that. I'm with you. Turn the TV off. And frankly, nobody watches those shows that's in the business. Mm-hmm. So I think he probably, unless his friend was on, and not only that, this is kind of gutless. This is Vince Vaughn reading the room and going, mm-hmm. well, everyone else has ripped on late night talk shows for the last year, year and a half. I'm going to jump in now because it's safe. That's lame. Yeah. And Joe Rogan too. Another one, Greg, you know, trying to read the room. Grifting, now ripping on Erica Kirk, and it just, I don't get these guys. They're, you know, he's a grifter, I think. Vince Vaughn, I just think, is late to the party. Who cares?
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. It's just, and he's using talking points. Like, the reason why their ratings are so, shut up. Is it because they haven't invited you on their show lately? I mean, yeah, Colbert wants to be on. No, thank you. I don't like his ratings or his politics. You're going to go on to talk about your TV show.
He's made two good movies, Swingers and Old School.
Check out Bad Monkey, good show.
Oh, it is. I saw that. It was pretty good. Yeah. Hey, Cindy Scipani, professor of business law at the University of Michigan, is up next after the news. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The word is bike. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine and coming all the way up in northeastern Wisconsin in Christmastown, USA. Did I get that right this time?
Nope.
Okay. Marinette, Wisconsin. It's Mr. Pete Schwabba down in or actually, I should say, over in Madison in what Brett from Brown Deer calls the Yader Hay Triangle. In Madison is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. And we are here with you tonight. Very excited to talk to you. Don't forget, in the second hour, we'll be talking to Civic Media Sports Authority, Mr. Mike Clemens. We'll be talking probably about all things baseball and maybe some, we'll talk some Badgers as well. I know it's going to be a stingy topic, but. We got to get it out there, Pete. We got to talk about these things and open up our hearts and understand it's a game. There's always next year, but
I can't hide from it.
And then we'll be wrapping the show up as we do with the nightcap. So don't go anywhere. Remember, our question of the night is, who is the greatest music duo of all times? You can call or you can text that in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVICLY. A comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. The word of the hour is bike for the text to win contest, the Breaking and Spring text to win multi-state contest. You still have a little while, about 25 minutes left, to text that word in via the Civic Media app for your chance to win $200 and get be put into a grand prize drawing for a Verlo mattress set. We've been seeing some text coming through. I don't know. The app might be down, folks. I'm not positive. We're trying to still get a handle on that one. But if you can text through, go ahead and do that. Good luck to you. The word is bike. But right now, let's get to our first guest for the evening. She is the Merwin H. Waterman Collegiate Professor of Business Administration and Professor of Business Law at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Please welcome to the show, Cindy Scipani. Good evening, Cindy. How are you today?
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, we have you on the show to talk about, I mean, online betting. And I know a lot of people in their heads, they say, oh, online betting. They think DraftKings, Duel, whatever, the ESPN betting app. And I feel like when we think of online betting, we have a certain idea in our head, and that's mainly sports. And with the past few years, it's expanded to like the presidential election or maybe even the Oscars. But it's way deeper than that. It goes way deeper and far reaching as far as what people are betting on. Can you talk more about that? Give us an idea of what people are actually betting their money on nowadays.
Well, the platforms that run these so-called bets, they don't like to call them bets. They like to call them investments in a contract. So they'll set up a statement, and it's a binary decision. It's a yes or no. So Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming again this year? So yes or no, when you put your money down on it. They're saying that's an investment contract and you'll make money if you're right and you'll lose your investment entirely if you're wrong. So they don't like the term betting, but it's really hard to see a difference from that than a bet. But it's on just about anything that they'll put on. So you've probably seen the things about whether Jeff Bezos was going to attend the Super Bowl and, and the second coming of Jesus and all different kinds of things that, again, it's a yes or no, and you put your money down wherever you think it's going to go. They're relatively new, but they're expanding to everything. Mm-hmm. They're calling it a predictions market, I think is one of the phrases that that I've seen for it. And it's really a digital platform for laying your money down.
I saw that prediction market. Does anybody, to the best of your knowledge, bet that Jesus is coming back? Like, that seems like it's been 2,000 some odd years. That seems like a safe bet to go against if you have enough money to put down. And how do you prove that? Somebody could probably say, well, I saw him at, Target or something.
Yeah, you got me on that. I do believe, though, there are bets on that going both ways. And you'll win more money if the odds are against you and it happens, kind of just like you would in any other betting scenario. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how they'll prove that one. And a really, sad, terrifying thing is that I read about threats to a journalist because they reported on an issue. The high rollers didn't want it reported that way as to whether a missile landed in Israel, I believe, or whether it was just debris from it being attacked in the sky. Yeah. And there were threats on this journalist. So it gets really scary when there's a lot of money backing certain positions and how they're going to prove it. If you're part of the proof and the big rollers don't like it, that's starting to get extremely worrisome.
When we're talking about this, contracts, securities, like however you want to, I see it as betting. Like, to me, if you're betting, whether you're betting on the Super Bowl or you're betting on the second coming of Christ, you're betting. You're putting money down, you're saying. But there are two main groups in this, and it's Polymarket and Kelce, if I'm not mistaken. Kelce is the one. And in the articles I've read, it seems like Kelce wants to be a little bit more self-governing. They want to take care of problems. They see it, whereas Polymarket is thumbing their nose to everyone saying, we don't care. Can you talk more about that itself? But also, I feel like I don't personally believe that either one of them, like, I don't think that Kelce is going to self-govern. I think they need to have, like, more than that. Like, their attempt to do it themselves, it just seems, I don't know, I don't trust it personally, but can you talk more about the difference between the two?
Yeah, so I think with Kelce trying to self-govern, they're trying to show that they are caring about what happens in their space. I think they also want to, if they put in the rules, then they're hoping, perhaps, and I shouldn't put words in their mouth, but I suspect they want those to be the rules and not have government or have other type of regulation in place. So they'd like to write the rules of the game. And I think they're trying to be respectful about it, to see what those rules might be to avoid regulation. Where, the Polymarket, I think, is kind of, should I say, all bets are off.
they just all contracts are off.
You got it. They're letting it go at the moment. So we'll see. This whole thing reminds me a little bit of when Uber and Lyft came to town, and there were different states had different approaches as to whether they might arrest a Lyft driver versus whether to allow these platforms. And I do remember an executive vice president for Lyft. He was in the air more than he was ever on land, but traveling state to state to try to negotiate what the best terms were for the platform in that jurisdiction, to find out what the, in that case, it would have been mostly like the city councils, I believe, what they cared about and whether they could provide it and help, again, draft the rules and regulations to it. But it, and the question there was also, is this a taxi? Is this Are they independent contractors? Are they employees? Or is this just a platform of putting people together? So this reminds me of that, although the stakes seem much higher and a lot more money involved, and they can be scary. Mm-hmm. I think they all, though, are trying to avoid state-by-state regulation and want to be able to operate the way they choose to operate.
Our guest is Cindy Scipani. She is a professor of business law at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Cindy, you said recently in an article, they're trying to differentiate basically what is insider trading and what isn't, and it's like the Wild West. Can you elaborate on that? And is that basically when it comes to regulations or different things to bet on? What did you mean by that?
I meant that we don't even know what these markets are. So in terms of how to regulate them, it's the question is it betting? Is it gambling? Like the states are suggesting, and there are many states have sued CalSheet. For instance, the state of Michigan just got in the game recently, stating that this is online betting, it's gambling, and the rules of the state for that need to come into play. And it's not just do what you want. On the other hand, the question is, well, are these investment contracts? The commodities futures Trading Commission, CFTC, says they have exclusive jurisdiction over this market, and they can decide what regulations are in place. The states are saying, no, this is a state issue because it's gambling and it's not part of our laws. And then these things are so new, and they have expanded, as we just talked about, to predictions just about on anything. So I do see this as the Wild West. I don't see that we have guardrails in place. I don't see that we've even decided what they are, which box to put them in. Insider trading is typically, we think about corporations, and we think about an executive or a person inside the corporation knowing whether an event's going to happen. So whether we're going to get the contract, whether we're going to lose the contract, they get the knowledge before the market does, so they can trade. Not legally, but the insider trading aspect is that they go ahead and either sell or buy to avoid a loss or to make money before the information comes out. That's what typical insider trading is, and it's regulated by the Securities Exchange Commission because this is a stock, it's an investment. What is this? Is it gambling? Is it an investment? The Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC, hasn't really weighed in on that, but you can envision there being typical insider trades inside this platform, right? So I might be an executive at a big corporation, and there might be a bet about what whether we're going to get a contract or something else on there. And then I know. So if I go in and bet on it, I'm really rigging the market. Definitely not legal under the Securities Exchange Commission. But then there are other kinds of things out there that aren't related to corporations, but I might have the inside track. And does that make this market fair? Is it being manipulated? And again, the CFTC can go after manipulations, but at the moment, they seem to be pretty hands-off on what's going on. So we just don't know.
And something I wanted to talk about with you, and we can, I'll talk about it right now, but when we come back on the other side of the break, you can address it, is the fact that what I was reading from my research is that until they even all come together, whether it's, you know, say it's delegations from each state to the federal government, or it's the CFTC and the SEC, until they come up with definitions, nothing can really happen because, as you said, it's like one side saying it's betting, one side saying it's trading, one side saying it's inside information, the other side is saying no. Because, and I want to use an example that you brought up that's in the Verge article, is the fact that, you know, Jeff Bezos's stepson said that my dad might not be coming to the Super Bowl, and that could influence things. Is that insider information, or is that guy just talking to his buddy? But his buddies dropped, some of them dropped $10,000 on these trades to say that he would or wouldn't be there. So I want to talk more about that on the other side. But when we come back, we'll be speaking more with Cindy Scapani. She is a professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. We're discussing, as we've been told, the bonkers world of online trading or contract trading, however you want to say it.
Prediction markets.
That's right. That makes it sound, that's betting with a tie. Right. But we'll be talking more about that with Cindy on the other side of the break. Don't forget, folks, text in the word bike on the Civic Media app to be part of the Break in the Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Your chance to win $200. That's going on for a little bit longer, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still have a few more minutes. If you haven't participated in our Break in the Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest, text in the word bike, B-I-K-E, via the Civic Media app. Let me see really quick here. Chris in Sun Prairie, you misspelled the word. So the word is bike, B-I-K-E, like look at that shiny Schwinn bike. But you have a few more minutes to do that. Coming up in the second hour, we're talking to Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens about opening day, as well as maybe the NCAA tournament and Badger sadness, but that's all coming up. And we cap everything off with the nightcap, so don't go anywhere. We're having a lot more fun. And we are talking to Cindy Scapani, who is a professor at the University of Michigan's School of Business. And we're talking about online, whether you want to call it betting or trading or futures. And that was something I talked about before we went to the break, Cindy, which was it doesn't feel like anything can get done until people sit down in a room and decide what this is. Because until they do, everyone just gets to have their way and say, well, no, sorry, this is what we're doing. So it's really going to take, I believe, political leaders, elected officials coming together and saying we need to create something that works for everyone so we know what's going on and we have applicable rules to put in place.
I think that's exactly right. And there are some proposals or some legislative initiatives in play. Nothing has gotten very far yet, but there is a bipartisan bill about calling it, at least with regarding to sports gambling, and mm-hmm. having that be decided by the states. So sort of taking it out, saying, no, you can't do that. You have to go through the regulatory process state by state if it's about sports. There also are proposals about, what is it called, the death bets, something along those lines, where there is a proposal to outlaw completely anything dealing with death, assassination,
yes,
war,
yeah,
those types of things as against the public interest. Now, the regulatory body, the CFTC, does have the authority to decide that something's against the public interest. But if Congress passes a bill, this takes it out of their discretion and says, we know this, mm-hmm. it's just flat out against the public interest. And there's another proposal to try to deal with inside information, so that if you happen to have the inside track on one of those bets or contracts, then you may not put your money down on that. And there's a good sense of fairness there. In insider trading in the regular stock market, we don't like it because it shows the markets may be rigged. I mean, why would I put an investment in a company if I know the insiders are going to make all this money first and I don't have a shot at really having a good investment? So the whole idea behind that is to try to, we can never make it equal or even, yeah, but try to give a little more sense of, a fairness. And I think that's not a bad idea for these markets as well. If you have the inside track, then you or your friends shouldn't be playing that one. On the other hand, we like information. And so mm-hmm. we want to encourage people to dig for information, but dig properly, like, you know, stockbrokers, like the media, when you're reporting on things dealing with companies. So I wouldn't want to discourage getting at the truth, but you know, if it just happens to be that you have, you're the only one with a source of information, then that's a different story.
Yeah. While we've been talking here, I placed a bet that Jesus is coming back. He's going to look around and then leave. So not be happy with what he sees. I'll let you know how that works out. I like the term prediction markets. It makes it seem like betting on terrorism is so okay. Like, these aren't hog futures or grains people are betting on. What is to say, like, I can't believe there aren't already laws that the people that are doing bombings or people that are betting on terrorism, that that's not already, is that considered insider trading, or is that a law on a different level that you'd have to go after people?
It would be on a different level. And I think it would be against public interest, clearly. And from what I understand, Kalshi didn't pay out on the right. death mm-hmm. of the Iranian leader because of that. Although I don't know why that bet even got on their platform then. I mean, I'm a little bit lost on all of that.
They took the bet, but won't pay out on it?
Yeah.
Apparently. I mean, that's what I've read. So yeah. That is just not, it's not comprehensible right now to my yeah. mind. Yeah. But I think clearly there are things against public interest. And you may be, if you're an insider and you can then game the system on, okay, the bets are going this way, I can change what I'm going to do so that I make big money on the long shot, or the incentives are just messy and wrong, I think.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much for coming by, talking to us about this. Before we get out of here, I wanted to put this up on here. I wanted you to see it. Joe on the live stream says, thank you for having Cindy on. I read McKay Coppins reporting on his journey into the world of online gambling. It was sobering and like a trip to a parallel universe. Well, yeah, online gambling is one thing. This, my friends, is a whole other thing, and we'll be interested to see what happens in the next few years as far as who's going to come to the table to say, let's put something together that protects the people and makes it, as you said, Cindy, it's not going to be totally fair, but maybe just a little bit more fair. We'll move towards that. That's always a good thing. But Cindy Scapani is a professor of business law at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks.
Thank you. This was fun. Thanks.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the question of the night. Who is the best music duo of all times? Feel free to call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream about that. Or, you know, you got a few more seconds. The word is bike, BIKE. Text it in via the Civic Media app for the text to win contest. Break it into spring here. It's opening day. We're celebrating the Brewers. Sorry, White Sox, here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.